Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
15-minute mark on the Fans, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. 80 degrees right now at Oakmont. Rain in the forecast beginning tomorrow morning, which could affect the amount of golf that gets in and how the rest of the tournament plays out, including Father's Day, where there's rain in the mix. That is Fan Weather, brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Speaking of Oakmont, we're at the other Oakmont institution, and that is Oakmont Bakery. Several listeners have come by to say hello, including Mr. Old School, who was just here, another guy, Tony
said, just came
I hate sweets, but I'm wearing a shirt that says Peeps, and I'm talking to you with a pastry in my hand.
He had a pastry in his hand, though, for his wife, because he wanted to come by and see us, and so figured he better get something for his sweets-loving wife. That is smart. That's smart husband move right there.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay.
Now, a lot of my predictions go wrong.
I have a bad feeling. I think
Tony's getting lucky tonight.
I knew you were going to say that.
I think it's happening for my man, Tone.
Are you becoming too one note, though, with those predictions? I could see that one coming a mile away. You were as solid as a semi-truck.
Intern Dom continues to propel past rock bottom. He said Pomp is there. He's in that rung of hell below Lucifer that Zangrilli was talking about after the Pirates lost that game.
The one Dante wrote about.
No Rebecca Black there.
Yeah, bad job.
Well, hold on. Because I was going to bring this up during the break, but since you brought it up now, I tried looking everywhere that we look for audio here, and it is nowhere to be found.
Impossible, because it's literally played every Friday on the show in the summer.
I'm just telling you, I looked in everybody's...
So who are you blaming for that? The technical people at the station, our engineers and stuff, for like deleting, going like surreptitiously into our system because they're sick of that song and getting rid of it, so there was no way for you to play it? That's what you're doing?
I think there are situations where there's no one to blame.
You of all people are saying that?
Yeah.
Just stuff randomly happens, and hey, throw your hands up, can't do anything about it.
See, Chris gets it.
No, I'm being facetious. That's a ridiculous thing for you to think. You're the ultimate blame game man.
You've had all show, if you didn't see it, to say, wait a minute, I don't see Friday in here by Rebecca Black. The guys demand it when we get to 4:45. Let me figure out a way to get it. Let me contact people like Donnie to see where it is.
How about I reach out to Rebecca Black personally and have her come in here and record it for you for the next break?
Oh, now he's going sarcasm.
Yeah, it's not even clever or funny.
Charming. Interesting.
All right. Pirates are, once again, not giving Paul Skeens any help. He's going to take another no decision home. When that game ends, we'll react to it. Instead, as we also wait for a Jeff Hathorn update from Oakmont, this Antonio Brown story. I was getting Stella ready for bed and stuff, and actually, no, that's a lie. What am I talking about? I got home late last night because I hung out here until like 8:30. So I get home, and I'm getting caught up on things I missed while I was covering golf, and I see that there's a warrant out for Antonio Brown's arrest. charged for attempted murder down in Miami. Yeah. Now, the story, like the incident, I should say, happened a long time ago. There's even a video on X that's gone viral for a while of clearly Antonio Brown running out of a parking garage, and you see a firearm in his hand, a pistol, and then like the person shooting the video loses track of him because Antonio Brown is running out of the garage and this person filming is still in, and you hear gunshots that happen. You don't, I mean, at that point you don't know whose gun it is, but you saw Antonio Brown with a gun, and he gets charged for attempted murder. Brown's Twitter account, and I think most people now know this, I believe he sold it to a bunch of kids who run it and put things out there and pretend to be Antonio Brown. I don't know how much they're in cahoots with each other, but when you see a tweet from AB, it's not AB sitting somewhere coming up with that thought himself.
No.
Okay.
Well, and none of the tweets are really written. You could remember when he used to write his own tweets, they had a very obvious tone to them that these don't.
They were sometimes impossible to comprehend, I think is what you're saying. Right?
Yes. These are clearly written by snarky people trying to make jokes.
That account put something out as a defense here that said the night that this happened, he was jumped, he was mugged, and these guys tried to steal his jewelry, and that's why he was seen on video with a gun looking for them. So this happened on Wednesday. To the best of my knowledge, still, he has not turned himself into authorities. Well, they're looking for him.
We know he's really fond of turning himself in when they ask him to. His, just a total spiral. Like, I say this not trying to excuse any of his behavior, because none of it deserves to be excused, but just at no point in that guy's life in the last, 8 to 10 years? 8 years, let's say, about back to 2018. Has anyone ever seemingly stepped in and be like, what are you doing, man? Like, I hate to do the old caller Todd bit, but like, hey, what are you doing here? Like, it just been a complete spiral and an embarrassing one and a pathetic one, really.
But he had, I think, had a little bit of a glow up and a renaissance in large part because of the popularity of the Twitter account. Because Donnie said this to us when the Steelers played the Raiders in Vegas. Donnie was there for the game, and there was a meet and greet with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. And he said there were thousands of Steelers fans there that were so eager to meet AB, and it was like all was forgiven. Like all of the bad blood, the way that he left the team, the incidents, the things he said about like Roethlisberger and the Rooneys and things like that, you would have thought it never happened with the way that Steelers fans who were there for that game reacted to seeing him. And then, like, I understand, like, it's a captive audience. They're there because they're supportive of the person. But when he came here and spoke for Trump, he got an enormous pop.
Well, I would think that's the political pop, though. People say, oh, yeah, okay, he likes the guy I like.
I know
that.
True, but it's like, again, the point being he comes back to Pittsburgh and he's not in enemy territory, so to speak. Like, I really felt like when his Steelers career ended, he went to the Raiders, he said all those things and did all those things. He was persona non grata for a period of time with Steelers fans. And, like, even when you and I, in the last, like, year or two, have talked about him as a football player and his legacy as a Steelers player, originally when you would say things or I would say things like, hey, this guy might be the greatest wide receiver in team history, there was a lot of shut the F up. Like, he can't be because of what a jerk he was here. But I feel like whenever we would say those things lately, it was, yeah, you're right. Like, the opinion of him, I think, had absolutely changed.
Yeah, but he's proven, if nothing else, that you can count on him to take any kind of goodwill he might have or any situation that might reflect positively and eventually flush it all down the toilet. And I observe him post-football career and find it more sad than anything. A lot of kids, horrible example being set. I have no idea if these attempted murder charges are legitimate in the sense that he actually did try to do something. Usually you don't bring charges unless you have you have to have probable cause. Just the entire arc of his life seems like it is headed in an extraordinarily bad direction. It's already most of the way down the road to that. And I would think this is the most serious thing he's actually been accused of.
So there was the sexual assault allegation when he was with the Patriots, and that's why they cut him.
Correct.
But that went away because the Bucs signed him, and then he went there and won a Super Bowl and wore out his welcome there and didn't do anything.
There was
like
jumping off the, hop skipping off the field
out
of the NFL.
There was there was no legal transgression, but there was like him quitting in a game and running off the field, which is still one of the most
surreal things you could ever envision happening, is what you're saying.
Iconic images in NFL history. You have Y.A. Tittle in Pittsburgh like on his knees with blood pouring from his forehead. And you have Antonio Brown shirtless, like giving people the peace sign and waving goodbye as he left the game.
Pirouetting off the field in the Meadowlands. And now, I mean, this is just, it's more bad stuff for the guy. How has he not run out of money?
Well, he declared bankruptcy not that long ago either. We talked about that he had mismanaged his money. I don't know, though. The bankruptcy thing's weird. I hate to, I'm not going to try to be amateur.
That doesn't mean that you have no money left.
Right. I'm not going to be amateur accountant here. But
it's not the same as just he's got $0 in his bank account.
Exactly. So
that's like about liabilities,
I don't know if he's
and
broke.
Assets and all that. It's still just, I don't know, man. I guess when I see these stories, it's certainly not like I have sympathy for him, the person himself here. He's made all these choices.
Yep.
It's just kind of, you greet it with a sort of a bummed out eye roll that he just cannot and seems to have no desire to get his life in order and together off the field. Because there are theoretically a lot of people counting on him, for lack of a better term. He's got a lot of kids, man.
He does.
And again, what kind of an example would at that point be set for them?
And you say that, as far as where he came from and what he became, that's an amazing example. He was basically living on people's couches, like a nomadic teenage existence where he did not have, real parental guidance or really any great adult supervision in his life whatsoever.
Yep.
And he worked himself without, let's face it, he did not have George Pickens' God-given gifts to play wide receiver.
No, he worked himself into being an all-time NFL great. And I would think that the focus I do remember hearing people who were around him before the big first contract he got, who said seemingly pretty normal, humble guy, I know Ryan Clark has said many times he had a bad feeling as soon as he got paid there was going to be repercussions or a change.
Yeah.
And Ryan was right. And I had heard people say more nice things. I mean, remember he was always super polite to Colony when Colony would go in that locker room.
I was at an event for with the station a month or two ago, and somebody who's had a lot of dealings with former Steelers players and current Steelers players was asked a question by someone in the audience. Who have you had, the best personal dealings with, best interactions with among Steelers players? And the individual who has all this, business relationships with Steelers players and stuff actually said AB, which blew everybody's mind.
Well, which is
because all we've heard are negative things, exactly.
He doesn't pay his bills. If you're his chef, guess what? You're not getting paid. He thinks being AB's chef is good enough. I guess the point I wanted to get to here is it bums me out on a human level. I mean, we're both parents. There's a ton of parents living or, listening to this show right now. He displayed so many characteristics that are admirable to get to where he got as an NFL player, right? The determination, the focus, the desire, all that stuff that he channeled in a very healthy way. He had a very rough, and it's not his fault, upbringing. And you would hope that he could channel all of that into breaking that cycle for his kids, and it hasn't happened. And that, bums me out as an adult, right, as an observer. Take the sports talk hat off. I've given my sports talk opinion. I think he's the best player I've ever seen play for the Steelers relative to his position.
Mm-hmm.
It's him and Fanica for me, and then Troy, and then Ben. That's your Mount
Where's
Rushmore.
Where's Watt?
He doesn't crack it.
Wow.
Actually, Woodson might be up there. I might have to remove Ben, which is just going to make people mad all over again. Either way, I am saddened to see that this just is continuing to spiral for him. And then you wonder about the ramifications for everybody around him.
You know what, though?
It spirals because of his own bad decisions.
I know, but I feel like this is either a six-month cycle or an annual thing where at some point we get confronted with or faced with some kind of heinous allegation or charge against Antonio Brown.
Away.
And we give different versions of what we're saying right now.
Yeah.
And you say or I say this guy's life is unraveling. And then he somehow...
It disappears. You're right.
He goes right back to being like the social media personality that he is now. And then something happens again a year from now and we revisit all this. Like that.
You're right about that.
The murder charge is by far attempted murder. No one died. Attempted murder is like the most serious one that's been levied against him. But at the same time, like these like close calls for him keep happening. And I would just say in that instance, like you'd think when you were maybe like close to getting in like really, really, really big trouble that it would curb behavior, but.
When you keep kind of having it go away, it doesn't curb anything. That's the problem.
We're going to be joined by Jeff Hathorn in a couple minutes. He is live up at Oakmont, where the U.S. Open is.
The course is winning,
looking
by the
like
way.
A U.S. Open,
the
right?
The course is winning big time. There are a total of five players better than par right now. And
this is what you want out of a U.S. Open at Oakmont.
Well, this is what it should be at any U.S. Open, but Oakmont does it the best. There's only two guys in the barn right now, 36 holes done, under par. Victor Hovland's at 1-under. Sam Burns has the round of the tournament so far at 5-under. He's 3 for the entire 36 holes. Spahn has continued to just hang in there, man, and he is even on the day. Tristan Lawrence has gone very bad.
He got as low as 6-under, and now he's back to 3-under, and he's still not even done with his first 9 holes.
He apparently was aiming like 60 yards left, I think it was, on 17 or something, trying to hit this huge slice in.
If you had to guess,
and did not hit a big enough slice.
If you had to guess the betting favorite right now to win the U.S. Open, who do you think it is?
The betting favorite.
Yep.
Probably Burns.
It is, plus 360.
I would say Burns, Spahn, Hovland would be the top three.
That is right. Have you seen this?
No, I'm on Data Golf, and that's their three.
Okay.
Scheffler is still 6th on the odds. Ben Griffin lingering around.
They have Scheffler, the odds makers of Scheffler 4th. Burns plus 360, Spahn 4-1, Hovland 6-1, Scheffler 9-1. Scheffler's 8 strokes back.
Yeah. Listen,
that's a long way to go, and a lot of people to jump over, and I know he's the best golfer in the world.
He's got to start hitting the ball better. Like, he did not hit the ball well enough today. They were talking about it on the radio, like on the feed you can get in your ear if you're out there. You hook the thing to your ear and have the radio feed so you can follow all the other action while you're walking. And they just said he's going to be on the practice tee after this round because of the way he hit the ball, because that's what makes him different. He's very good off the tee. He's all-time good on the irons,
and he hasn't hit it. So I think they can go one or two ways then. We'll talk to Jeff in a few minutes. Okay, so it's obviously not a good thing that you're not
hitting the ball close to the hole. But if you are...
Well, but I'm saying he shot 71.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If he starts hitting it the way he's used to hitting it, this could be scary.
Right. Like, that's like a starting pitcher who doesn't have his stuff. It's like Paul Skenes went out there and got through, like, 6 innings and gave up 2 runs, and he came out afterwards and said, I didn't have my fastball or I didn't have my splinker
or
whatever.
In Skenes' case, he'd be down 2-0 in that situation.
Yeah.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But you know what I mean?
No, like, yeah. And then in this case, he gets to go right back out the next day and snap his fingers.
Given how hard Oakmont is, a lot of guys that had what you're talking about wouldn't have shot 71. They would have shot 78.
Oh, no. He played like an all-time, like, grinded out round to get to 71. Like, I'm stunned that he played, that he scored as well as he did with how poorly he hit the ball. The opposite side of that equation, right now, Rory McIlroy's outside the cut line again, Pony.
Man.
He's plus four on today's round. He's through 11 holes as I see it right now. That means he's plus eight for the tournament.
And I don't think he made the cut the last time it was here.
He did not. There's something going on with him.
Because I remember Cook writing like a scathing column, like, here comes a boring U.S. Open without Rory McIlroy around for the weekend. Something along those lines when we were still doing a show together.
How did the column start, you think? Ben Roethlisberger's one heck of a golfer, and he loves Rory McIlroy. So do I, but he's not going to be like...
Yeah.
Would he have start? I mean, would it have been beyond him to start a column about the U.S. Open with Ben in the first sentence?
I mean, Ben was a golf aficionado. His oldest son's like a big-time golfer,
his
right?
His son's like, I think, 12, maybe his oldest child, and he's big on like those junior tours. I've heard... He's definitely a good player, and Ben is absolutely. I've seen this up close.
I'd be shocked if he's not there this weekend.
At Oakmont?
Yeah.
I would imagine he's there.
Obviously in a very like hoity-toity area of the golf course.
I would think. But I know he's like a very much like a sicko golf dad, and not in an unhealthy way. Like, I know he just is a very avid player, so he likes to follow what his son's doing.
Texas on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, Jeff, live from the course. Next, can Scottie Scheffler come back from being eight down? Can Bryson DeChambeau get hot? What the heck is J.J. Spahn doing atop the leaderboard? All that coming up with another Oakmont update.
This Oakmont update is brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions, Brookline.com, and Aircraft Management Group.
Oh, my God.
We can't.
I thought it wasn't in the system. I thought the system completely deleted it.
Apparently, he had Rebecca come in and deliver a studio-quality performance with a couple hours turnaround. We don't have time to do the sing-song, though,
you know,
Tony.
Like, you know what it probably – there's no way what it could have been, and that's just Dom in an oversight looked in a place where he thought it was. It was there, but he just didn't see it. Could never be that.
No, I don't think so.
It was in a place I didn't think it was.
And how did you find out where it was?
I was racing through my mind to figure out where it could possibly be, and I figured
racing
it out.
Racing through your mind?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just searching that big brain of yours, huh?
You better believe it.
Okay. I don't.
I wanted to please you guys. I felt bad.
Jeff Hathorn is up at Oakmont watching round two of the U.S. Open. Only four rounds in the books under par today, so it is playing like quintessential vintage Oakmont. Jeff will join Mulsey from 6 to 7 for the Going Low Oakmont wrap-up show. Jeff, Bryson DeChambeau gets louder cheers and probably has the biggest gallery of anybody out there all week. And he's starting to go the other way. He is very close to missing the cut. Update us on what Big Bryson is doing right now.
Yeah, first off, before I forget, because we talked about Bryson v. Rory, Rory just had the two-hand, the axe throw. Like he axed through a club. Yes.
Really?
Was it his driver again?
Really. I couldn't tell what club. I just saw the carnage of the club flying. It was in the fairway, so it was probably an iron. And now he's in some kind of deep rough, 8-over par. I mean, the axe throw is not going to go over well with ye old membership here.
I actually don't know about that, Jeff, only because the axe throw means that the course is beating the brakes off of him, and that is absolutely what the membership hopes happens at this tournament, because that is the kind of pride they take in the course.
As for Bryson, through 12 holes, he has 3 pars today.
So it's a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride kind of round for him.
It really is. He has 3 birdies, and the rest are bogeys.
Well, Jeff, you know who is having a... I wouldn't say it's an ultra-calm round because he's got a couple squares on the card, but he's matched them with circles. J.J. Spahn keeps battling. I think everyone has waited for him to fall back, but he just keeps battling. He followed a bogey with a birdie twice on this card today. He has made a good chunk of pars. He just keeps getting the ball around the golf course.
Even after a disappointing 5 on number 12, he's gone through all right, and a birdie's available for him on 17 potentially, and 18 if he can drive it straight, there's a chance to keep this round going. But yeah, I thought for sure Sam Burns would be leading. I'm not as sure now. I mean, Lawrence fell off after his crazy ride of 3 birdies, 3 bogeys in a row. He's also still at 3 under par, so. I give those two credit. As crazy as it may have been, they're hanging in there.
Jeff, let's assume Spahn gets in the barn here, and that's a big assumption. He's still got to play 5 holes. But let's just, for argument's sake, assume he gets in at 4 under, and that is the clubhouse lead through 36 holes. Get me a score that somebody would have where you don't think they could come back and win if they are at this number or worse heading into the weekend if Spahn's at 4 under.
You mean if Spahn is 4, what he can shoot?
No. If Spahn's at 4 under and that's the lead, what is the worst possible 36-hole score that you think would still have a chance at actually coming back and winning this thing?
4.
Okay.
Oof.
I thought you were actually going to say like +2 or +3.
So you think Scheffler's still alive then here, Jeff, after he shot a 4 over 74 today?
I think he's got a chance, and I watched a good chunk of him on the range with one other guy on that massive range and his coach, and he just went over and over and over, which means he's still searching. I don't know if you found anything, but he put in a ton of work after he got done talking to us on the range, not just there, but then also did some short game stuff. So I don't want to dismiss Scotty just because of what he's done over the last couple of years to say that he can't be a guy. I don't know anyone else I would say a +4, but because Scotty's +4, that's why I say +4.
Jeff, we've got rain in the forecast the next 2 days. How do you think that will affect the tournament the rest of the way?
So let's say it's playable rain tomorrow morning. Scotty plays through it. The greens are receptive. The greens slow down. The fairways are more receptive. And he goes out and shoots a number. Rain stops. It gets humid. It dries out quickly. And now these leaders have to go through much tougher conditions. That's how I could see this thing playing out. But as much as it makes the greens more receptive, it's going to make the fairways more receptive. And not hitting a fairway has just been death out here.
So, Chris, you think those guys are rooting for rain then? Even if it kind of like messes with the rhythm of the tournament?
I think the guys who are trying to chase down Spahn, anybody that's like several shots back, right? The rain is the one thing that could make the course play to a degree. I don't mean actually play close to a PGA Tour stop, but to a degree play more like a regular Tour stop where birdies can be had more. These guys, the entire challenge here is if you're in the rough, you can't control your spin. If you're in the fairway, sometimes it's hard to control your ball on those greens. Rain makes that a lot easier. So, yes, to answer your question, slightly long-winded, I think they are rooting for rain that softens and slows down this place.
Jeff, Sam Burns on a day where we see scores, I think the average score is like 73 or 74, maybe even higher than that. He shot a 65. I mean, it's honestly one of the best probably rounds of golf on the PGA Tour all year long that he was able to do that today. Take us through his round and why he went from a guy that was two or three pages down the leaderboard. He moved up 31 spots all the way to second.
Well, I mean, he started at 10, shot a 31 on the back nine. 31. Then he turns and goes to one, bogeys one. So you're wondering, okay. Turns right around, bogeys two, or birdies two, birdies four. It just, and that was it. I mean, six birdies and one bogey in these conditions. And he did it putting. He's one of the best putters on tour. And I have a quick line that I'm going to say out loud so Chris can hear. Trying to be too perfect with putting can drive you crazy. If you just try to really read it, put a good roll on it, focus on the speed, then hope for the best. Say that seven times, Chris, and just put that in your mind, because that's what he's doing. He said he's not letting any of this other stuff. If he puts a good roll on it, he's happy. If it doesn't go in.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He's okay, and it's worked for him.
That's easier said than done, but I'll try to apply that. What do you make of this from intern Dom on Twitter? He writes, he takes a screenshot of the top five. This is a really boring U.S. Open leaderboard, says Dom, with J.J. Spaun, Sam Burns, Tristan Lawrence, Thomas Dietrich, and Victor Hovland. Is this a boring
top? He's right.
Is this a boring top of the board? Pony agrees with him.
I agree with him. For right now, I think he's right.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a boring tournament. So are they not the names? Yeah, but look at what this course is doing to some of the big names. I think that is what's made it exciting. Maybe the big names aren't up there, but watching an axe throw from Rory McIlroy is something I'm in to watch.
I mean, it was the same at the PGA, and then things shifted on the second 2 days when it got to the weekend. What, Johnny Vegas was in the lead after 36
holes?
Yeah,
I'm gonna say something here, though. Johnny Vegas was seen as like a complete, not a fluke, but it wasn't going to happen for him. I'm just going to continue with this trend of J.J. Spahn is absolutely a good enough player to win this tournament. And I never would have said that about Johnny Vegas. Once basically Scotty got himself going a little bit, it was inevitable that he was going to take over that thing. I don't think that's as inevitable here with like a Hovland or even a Ben Griffin.
So, Jeff, who would you pick then right now?
I mean, there's some good next-gen players here. Spahn's 34, but like Burns, Griffin, Hovland. I mean,
Adam Scott is loitering right now around.
I'm not hearing a pick, though. I'm hearing you rattle off leaderboard names. I'm not hearing a pick.
I'm going Norgi. Victor
Who?
Hovland.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Pomp will love that, but you know what he'll be mad about?
This is the one time he didn't pick him.
He has picked Victor Hovland. He's picked him to win like 10 majors in his career, and this would be the one time he didn't go with him. He went with Fleetwood. I mean,
he's hitting the ball as well as anybody, Hovland is. That's why.
Jeff, I mean, among the guys who are within three shots of the lead, he's by far got the most pedigree. I know he hasn't won a major championship, but, you know, if you're naming the faces of golf and the biggest names of golf, he's probably what? He's like maybe right outside the top 10, Chris? Or right around there? I mean,
yeah, when he was at his peak, I think he was clearly in the top 10. The problem with him is he's tinkered with his game so much that he gets lost in the wilderness very, very easily. And I don't think that generally happens to him within tournaments. It happens like in the time in between tournaments. He'll tinker and tinker and tinker. When if he just left it go, which is let himself swing the club the way he always does, he'd be great.
He can be O'Neal Cruz, too. Like, he can be really good, and then it just goes away.
His short game has been a humongous disaster at various points in his career, like to the point where you could go there were points, Pony, I don't know if you know this, there are points in Victor Hovland's career, Jeff, where there are members at Oakmont who are among the better playing membership there who are better chippers of the golf ball than him. That's how bad he's been at various points. Anyway,
and Jeff, I'm still picking him.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that.
By the way, Brooks Koepka, I know he did not have a great round. He shot 4 over today, but he did some work to give himself a little leeway. Him at +2 right now feels still very much like I would caution people to forget about him too easily because that guy is a hunter at the top of that board.
And +2 is top 10 now.
That's right. Jeff, we'll listen to you at 6 with Mulsey. Thank you.
Thanks, Pony.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia. Go to southhillskia.net. We're live from Oakmont Bakery, right down the hill from the U.S. Open. Instead of dealing with traffic, why don't you stop here after watching golf and say hello to us? We're here until 7 o'clock, breaking it all down. Pirates-Cubs is over. Did the Pirates give Paul Skeen some run support? Did they win at Wrigley? Final in 10. Cubs 1, Pirates 2. They double up the Cubbies and fly that L flag outside of Wrigley. For Paul Skeens, give him a no decision. Didn't pitch deep into this game. Now, we're at Oakmont Bakery right down the street from the U.S. Open, and Mulsey and I were at the U.S. Open round 2. We've been tracking this game on MLB.com. So I'm only going off of that, but it is surprising to see Paul Skeens only go five strikeouts, 2 walks, 4 hits, 95 pitches, 60 of which were strikes. So this is the second time this year the Cubs have, I wouldn't say knocked Paul Skeens out of the game because they didn't hit him hard like last time, but 2 starts in a row against them this year, he didn't pitch into the sixth inning. So they've gotten him out of the game, and that's a recipe for success against the Pirates. It wasn't today because the bullpen gave up 1 run in 5 innings. And David Bednar got his 10th save of the year. He is 10 for 10 in save opportunities, and it has been excellent since coming back from AAA when he was demoted down there to get his crap together, which now in hindsight looks like a stroke of brilliance by the Pirates to do that with him and humble him a little bit and get him back in line. Paul Skeens, to me, though, And Paul Skene's not getting run support again and getting another no decision, even though I would say part of this is on him because he didn't go deep in the game. So he's not like a total martyr and sympathetic figure here. But I am at a point even in June, we're not even halfway through the baseball season, where because the Pirates are so far out of it, 29-42, on days like this, I am more frustrated by the fact that they can't get him wins than I am by the happiness or joy that would come with winning the game. If they were contending and Skene's got a no decision again, but they won,
big whoop,
I'd be like,
contending.
Who cares?
So but do you think wins are that important to the goal of him winning the Cy Young? Like, is that why you're getting so mad? Because you think that they're really hindering him and hampering his chances at that award? His ERA is 178.
I know.
He's having a DeGrom in, 2018 or whatever season.
I know. So I think baseball fans, and this is what I'm trying to say to, explain maybe a little bit of hypocrisy here on my part.
Okay.
I think baseball fans, many of them, including myself, are guilty of this. We say that wins don't matter. Like, oh, win-loss records for pitchers don't matter. But when you see Mitch Keller in June with one win, it pisses you off, or it's like, can you believe that this guy only has one win? You know, Paul Skene's has given up one run or fewer in seven straight starts and only has one win to show for it. If we didn't care about wins and losses, we wouldn't bring up facts or stats like that. I don't think it should be, on the list of things that should factor into the Cy Young voting. I think it should be not at the very bottom of the list, but I don't think it should be anywhere near the top. But when you've grown up watching baseball and looking at baseball cards that put 20 wins in bold print for your entire life, you are you want to see your pitchers win. I'm sorry.
Well,
I
want to see them win as a function of it means you're a healthy, normally functioning team. When your ace goes out and pitches like an ace, even if it's only for five innings in this case, you're like, all right. They won the game, or he won the game specifically. Their record overall in games he's pitched now is run to what? He's 4-6.
I'll give it to you right now.
But they just won this game, so just add one to whatever they had.
1-1, 1-2, 2-2, 2-3, 3-3. Here comes the losing streak. 3-4, 3-5, 3-6, 3-7, 5-7, 5-8, 6-8, 7-8.
I mean, what bothers me more about it isn't even so much Paul Skene's, because I think if he does his thing here and has an ERA under 2 and he has a losing record, I think he'll win the Cy Young and it'll become a historical note that he's the first guy to do that. That stat you gave right there, 7-8, bothers me way more because it's the overall health of the team. You mean to tell me, because when you draft a guy like Skene's and he starts to pitch like he has pitched, you think, well, this is why we drafted him, because every fifth day we will win that baseball game. We are immune to massive losing streaks that can sink seasons. Now, obviously they're not, because their season basically got sunk the first 35 games. We are immune to massive losing streaks, because when this guy takes the mound, we win. They're under 500 when he takes the mound. That bothers me way more than his win count.
He should be the all-time, stopper.
Well, and he has been largely. He, in a vacuum, has functioned as such. But that's what bothers me more. They have been so inept offensively that even him being great hasn't been enough to get them a 500 record when he pitches.
Listen to this stat from Block. This was Paul Skene's 19th start of his career on the road. His ERA coming into the game in road starts was 1.27. He went 5 and didn't give up a run. So I don't have the total innings in front of me.
It'll be 1-2.
It'll go down from there. That's the lowest in baseball history.
It's just outrageous.
Tom Verducci said, Penn State man, much like yourself, that he is the greatest pitching phenom of all time.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you look smart for
Doc Gooden.
Yeah, the day he came up,
Steven
you said
Strasburg,
he could be this guy.
All those guys were phenomenal when they first started.
He has every pitch you could want. He has every physical attribute. He has the mental approach that guys take years to figure out in baseball, and he has it at 22 years old. He has it all.
And you know what's crazy? And Verducci pointed this out on MLB Network. And so I was skeptical of this, but now looking back on it, who am I to question Paul Skene's? The tinkering he did with the extra pitches worked. He added in a two-seam fastball. The batting average against that two-seam fastball is the third lowest in all of baseball. And it's a brand-new pitch. He's had it for 15 starts. And there's only two pitchers in baseball. I think Aroldis Chapman actually has, like, the best. He's third. It's
that
crazy.
That is wild.
And it's, like, brand new. He experimented with it. He toyed with it. And he's already made it into nearly an unhittable
pitch.
That
should terrify other teams because what's he going to toy with and tinker with next?
I know, man.
And yet 7-8 when he starts.
That's the
number. You say you're mad because you grew up old school and you want to see that baseball card say, like, 18, 19, 20 wins. You've also grown up new school and seen DeGrom ball out and only go 10-9.
Sure, but
it's the team record in those games that infuriates me.
I get that, but, like, 4-6 next to his name is just complete crap. Such a joke. If that's what
I'd love
like.
To know is if he, like, privately seethes about that, or if he's, like, enough of a cerebral guy to understand that people nowadays are looking at his own individual numbers and not really putting as much stock in what is your win-loss record. I honestly wonder what the answer to that is.
IKF
looks at it.
Drove in the winning run with a sac fly in the 10th. There's the ghost runner that starts at second, and Key Brian Hayes singled to start the inning. There was an intentional walk, so it loaded the bases, and eventually it got to IKF, who brought in the ghost runner with a sac fly. His batting average is almost 300. 714 OPS, and the Pirates writers who were at the game at Wrigley today said he made some great defensive plays at shortstop.
Yeah, basically won them the game.
He's going to get flipped for something nice. And I don't think he'll necessarily be a shortstop for his next team, but...
Well, they shoehorned him into that role.
They have.
When his job was supposed to be like the ultimate utility player a la Josh Harrison.
That, in the end, was not a bad trade by Charrington at last year's deadline. It didn't have the desired effect on the team at all because they've sucked the last 2 months of 2024, and they're one of the worst teams in baseball overall this year. But it's not his fault. It's also not his fault that, like you said, they've just stuck him at shortstop the entire year.
He's still been a 1.5 win player. He has no pop in the bat, but he's been good enough as a hitter overall and getting on base. Yeah, I mean, he's rebounded. I thought that they were in a very bad spot where they bought high during the midst of his best offensive season ever. He's an okay offensive player. You know what he is on a good team?
I think he's better than okay.
You know what he is on a good team? He hits ninth on a good team, and he turns over your lineup. Don't you think?
He's a nice player on a good team because he can play anywhere, and he hits the ball and gets on base.
He puts bat on ball. He doesn't take a ton of walks, so he's going to be a victim of his batting average on balls in play sometimes. But on a good team, you throw him down there at ninth in the lineup, and you turn over your lineup that way. That's a good piece. It is.
David Bednar.
I'm going to give you credits for something here, by the way, before you mention his name. Congratulations on, at worst, a push. If he doesn't get a single save the rest of the year, you have pushed on your David Bednar Bucko auction house number. 10 saves.
Making $5.9 million this year. He has arbitration again next year and then can be a free agent in 2027. Mm-hmm. So there's a year and a half left on David Bednar. We know that they've been loath to trade him in the past because of the Pittsburgh effect, and they've missed their window to get maximum back for him.
Yep.
Neil Huntington did trade 2 months of Tony Watson for O'Neill Cruz. Like, Ricardo Rincon got traded for Brian Giles. Mm-hmm. So there's history in the Pirates organization of flipping closers and getting a great return back. Now it's Ben Charrington's, I think, turn to do that. I won't say people love him here because the Pirates have been out of sight, out of mind, and he's gotten booed a lot.
Oh, no, so, I think he had the classic thing where he was really popular when he was good and he was a bright spot on a bad team. He had the thing early last year where he cost them several games, I think fans turned on him bad.
I think he's a great guy, and he comes from an awesome family, and you can acknowledge that at the same time say, I don't think that people would bat an eyelash if he got traded. I mean, I just don't. I don't think that...
No, it wouldn't. It would not register.
It wouldn't register at all, exactly.
No, it would not register.
In my opinion, he has to get traded. You can't risk him going, especially with only 1 year left on his contract, you can't risk him going south again. You've got Santana, even though he blew a save today, not like in the ninth inning, but gave back the lead when they were up 1-0. Santana's pitched well all year. We've seen Ashcraft out of the bullpen. Majinski came back today and pitched, followed up Skeens and was good. You've got bullpen arms now. You know, someone's probably going to get moved to the bullpen who's a good pitcher when Chandler gets here.
This is how you find your next closer. You trade Bednar and you figure out who's best suited for that role. I think it probably should be Santana, stuff-wise.
Yeah.
Majinski,
and then maybe Ashcraft eventually. Or Majinski.
Majinski,
right,
to me is almost too valuable. I would make him like a weapon arm where I just bring him all over the place and say...
I'll say this again. I don't think it's out of the question that Jared Jones is eventually the Pirates' closer.
That would be a disappointment given how his career started. That wouldn't be like John Smoltz moving to the bullpen late in his career and being a really good closer.
Well,
that would bum me out.
Yeah, but if he's...
He ain't going to be Mariano Rivera. Would you agree?
Probably. I mean, he got unanimously voted into the Hall of Fame, but if he's one of the two or three best closers in baseball, I'd rather have that than him being an oft-injured starting pitcher.
Here's another thing. I'd rather have Jared Jones be a guy that if he's not going to be a starting pitcher, I can deploy him as just weapon X out of the bullpen and say, I need two innings from you where you not empty the tank, but get close to it because you're only going to pitch 2 days in a row. I need you to be the right-handed Andrew Miller for those Cleveland teams that went far.
So the Pirates win, but Paul Skeens gets another no decision after giving up zero runs. Crazy. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. We're live at Oakmont Bakery. We're here until 7. The Going Low Oakmont wrap-up show follows us here from 6 to 7. And brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. It's still 83 degrees here. It's still hot. It cooled off at this time yesterday, not today. And rain is expected to come through in the next 20 minutes. So we'll see how bad it is and if that forces them to shut things down at Oakmont. That is Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Of course, we are at the institution that is Oakmont Bakery. They have treated us like gold the last 2 days. We'll have shows emanating from here all weekend, so if you're coming up to watch the U.S. Open, this should be your first stop or your last stop before you head home. The great Oakmont Bakery. Get Dad something for Father's Day. He will absolutely love it from Oakmont Bakery. Cakes galore, bagels, bread, sandwiches, ice cream sandwiches with gelato inside. All
things
here.
Of that nature.
Yep, all here at Oakmont. Let's get to the hodgepodge brought to you by Two Men and a Junk Truck. Visit them at twomenandajunktruck.com. Occasionally, my wife Amanda will make suggestions for the hodgepodge.
Really?
Not intentionally, but she'll bring things up, and I think it's done so because she wants to spark conversation. She had one today at Kennywood, the Steel Curtain roller coaster. Remember there was an entire year where they didn't use it? There was things they needed to sort out?
Yes.
It's back. Very long lines for it. People can't get enough of it. They had a safety sensor stall is what they called it. That's a very technical term in the roller coaster business. I'm not exactly sure what that means. All I know is this. There were riders of the roller coaster who were stuck, suspended, kind of sideways, half upside down, for almost a half hour. How would Chris Mueller react in that situation?
For some reason, not being fully upside down would be better. Not that it would like feel, you know, you're in deep trouble if something worse happens anyway. You know what my first thought was, though? Maybe it's because I'm 40. I'd be like, man, once I get down, my hip's going to hurt so bad, whichever one is like, you know what I mean? Like, your body's tilted that way.
Yeah.
I think I would handle it if I got the sense somehow. I don't know how they'd get word to you. I feel like I would feel more comfortable or more confident that nothing really bad was going to happen than you might think.
Okay, here's my issue
with
this.
The ski lift one would be the one that would really make me uneasy.
So I think they're going to tell you everything is fine. We'll have you out of there.
In a jiffy,
right. But I've had that situation when, say, you're deboarding a plane, you've landed, and you're just stuck on the runway for hours. Okay,
really?
And they keep telling you it's going to happen, and then it just drags on and on and on. So I don't think I'd necessarily trust that because I think they're just trying to placate you.
Yeah.
And the 20 minutes would end up feeling like 2 hours. And because I was like suspended there, I would start having horrible thoughts. Not so much about like dying per se, but I would start thinking like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom soon. And then I would like self-create the need to have to immediately go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, your brain would, yeah.
Yeah, and it would turn into like an excruciating affair.
Now, if you didn't have a lap bar covering and you get the zipper down, I think I'd tell everybody else, don't look, I'm peeing out the side of this thing. If I got to go, the worst one would be, and I don't think you'd be on a roller coaster, if you had it coming out the other end, then that would be, you know,
how do you think Starkey would do in a scenario
terribly.
Like this?
He'd somehow manage to like actually like snap the roller coaster off by just sheerly worrying about
it too
much.
We're going
to die. I can't do this. I can't go out like this. I've got so much golf to play. Something like that.
Next.
This is a hodgepodge of nothing.
This is a small one. It doesn't count as my hodge. Shane Lowry, according to Brendan Porath of Friday Golf, just picked up his ball without first marking it. He and Rory just had a big laugh because Shane ain't coming close to making the cut. I have never actually looked to see what the penalty is for doing that.
Oh, I thought you meant...
He was on the green.
Oh.
He did not put a coin under his ball. He just picked up his ball.
Well, he's 15 over.
I think that might be a one-shot penalty.
I thought that meant he just picked up his ball and said, you know what,
no,
I'm done here.
No, he meant to put he was supposed to put a coin down, and he didn't. Here's my actual one. I think Amanda would like this, too. It's a New York Post story. It is a random, they called him an, quote, idiot tourist. here's the video. Look at this. Damages Crystal Van Gogh chair. He's squatting in front of this chair, right?
For a picture.
It's made of Swarovski crystals for a picture. And then sits and just, oh, no. Thousands of Swarovski crystals. And he just falls into it while the woman, I guess it's his wife.
So is he on the hook now for hundreds of thousands of dollars?
I don't know. So look at this. So they waited for staff to clear the room because you're not supposed to go near this thing. And then he and apparently like his wife or whoever his female companion was waited to do that till they left to take the picture. And then you see them in the video jetting out of there as fast as they can. Have you ever done it? No, obviously not that bad to something that, you know, priceless. Have you ever committed some sort of horrible faux pas like that in a public setting? We've heard many pony might have wet the bed stories.
The first thing that pops into my head with stuff like that is when I would my cousins that I was closest to were both girls older than me.
Yeah.
And so I would get like roped into like playing, like they'd have Barbies out and stuff, and I'd have to like be the boy that like tagged along and played
with them. Hi, I'm Ken.
And this was not done maliciously because I was just little. I would accidentally sometimes break one. And I knew that if they saw that I broke one, they'd lose it on me. So when they weren't looking, like, I would shove it underneath the couch and just pretend like it didn't happen. Therefore, like if they found it, like if my aunt found it while they were cleaning, she wouldn't know who did it.
Right.
Or she'd think they did it.
Perfect crime by you.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of stories of that of young Filippone that just make me wonder about what older Filippone is capable of.
Yep. Next.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Matt Vogt, 22 over. He's got one hole left. I don't care. I mean, it's still an amazing, incredible story, and I'm so happy for him and his family that he got to do this at Oakmont this week.
This George Duongmini is your booby prize loser, though. 19 over today, 35 over for the championship. Now, you do that at a USGA qualifying event. They send you a very sternly worded letter suggesting that you not try qualifying again.
What's he get for this?
Nothing, because he made it all the way. I mean, at this point, they're like, yeah, you were playing the hardest golf course in the world, set up to play as hard as it can play. Like, we kind of get it here, dude.
Next.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
My buddy was out there. My buddy Kevin was out there on the ground.
Congratulations on all his success.
I don't know if he was with, like, either. I don't. His kids are too little, I think, to be able to stand the heat. On number six when Victor Perez dunks one for a hole-in-one. What a moment.
I believe that's the first hole-in-one during a U.S. Open at Oakmont.
I believe it is as well.
So here's a question for you. I know, obviously, there's money considerations here that you have to factor into it. Would you rather finish 15th mm-hmm. with no hole-in-one mm-hmm. or finish 50th with a hole-in-one?
50th with. Because if you're a player of the caliber who's making it into this tournament, chances are you've got a couple million in the bank, I would think at least. Unless you're one of the guys who qualified as like a local pro.
And now he's got like something that no one else has.
Right.
He's produced a moment
Victor
at a US
Perez,
Open.
Victor Perez in this case is not a guy who like definitely needs that money. I'd absolutely rather have the hole in one.
Didn't have Victor Perez pegged as a guy from France?
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Right?
That one always throws me for a loop. honestly, I think before, like, maybe if somebody had seen John Rahm's name on a leaderboard, they're like, wait, he's from where again? It just looks like a random, like, okay, that's an American name, an unusual one, but so what?
Malzy, have a happy Father's Day. Enjoy
your
vacation.
Thank you. Same to you, brother.
Thank you. I will not be going on vacation, though, next week. I'll be saving that for the week after. So Monday we will have a full reaction to the U.S. Open. Donnie will be back. More reaction to day two of the U.S. Open right now with Malzy and Jeff live from Oakmont Country Club. Big shout out to everybody here at Oakmont Bakery. I believe Mark is the guy that kind of is
the leader here. He's the man
and
here.
And he is awesome. And he has treated us spectacularly. Oakmont Bakery's foods are obviously tremendous, but the way they've treated us has been completely first class for our 2 days doing shows here. We'll continue throughout the weekend. We'll talk Monday at 2 p.m. Team signing off.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.